Hello, and welcome to this podcast from www.mistralsophistory.com, which is designed for Cambridge IGCSE Paper 2 Summer 2010 and its focus on the collapse of communism in Europe. Paper 2 is a source analysis paper, which will present you with a collection of sources on the topic and ask you a variety of questions that encourage you to demonstrate your skills of source analysis. I've recorded a podcast designed to explain how to approach Paper 2 questions, as the paper is really examining your skills of analysis rather than your in-depth knowledge of a given period. I encourage you to download it from the site and take a listen. However, this year's topic, possibly due to its large knowledge base and potentially long chronology, has been debated long and hard by both students and teachers alike to determine exactly what element of the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe the sources and questions will focus on. There is, for example, the possibility that CIE will trace the origins back as far as Hungary in 1956 and Czechoslovakia in 1968, two topics of which there are podcasts on the rest of this site. It's more likely, though, that they will focus on the 1980s, since in the November 2009 examinations, the questions were almost all about solidarity, yet only just touched on Gorbachev. Now, while I stand by my comment that knowing how to analyse a source will get you more marks on this paper than possessing an enormous knowledge of the facts of the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe, I have taken on board requests from students who have been in touch with me and therefore decided to put together this podcast, which presents an overview of the key issues of solidarity, Gorbachev, and the collapse of communism. Therefore, this doesn't tell you everything about the topic, but will certainly provide background knowledge to help you put the sources on Paper 2 into context. To begin with, we'll consider solidarity. The 1970s saw a debt-ridden Poland that faced enormous criticism by its population. The Polish people condemned the inequalities of Polish society, where most people barely scraped by while the influential members of the regime lived in luxury, and the lack of political voice that they experienced. In the Gdańsk shipyards during 1980, the workers' unhappiness led to the development of a trade union called Solidarity. Its leader, Lech Walesa, was a popular man who brought together workers from all over Poland, along with the support of the influential Catholic Church. By January 1981, Solidarity had a membership of 9.4 million people and found itself in a position to start beginning placing demands on the government. I think it's important to remember that at the start at least, Solidarity was not an anti-communist movement. It wanted to reform the government but not overthrow it, although over time the union grew to a size and influence where it began to threaten the survival of the communist regime. The government at first agreed to many of their demands, but with the appointment of a new Polish leader, General Jaruzelski, in October 1981, Solidarity found itself in trouble. The leader of the Soviet Union, Brezhnev, warned Jaruzelski that he had to clamp down on Solidarity, otherwise the Soviet Union would send troops into Poland to deal with Solidarity themselves. 2 months later, Jaruzelski declared martial law and arrested Lech Walesa and a further 10,000 members of Solidarity. The following month, Solidarity was declared illegal. Its members didn't resist. They knew that if they were to oppose the clampdown, the Soviet army would crush them. However, Solidarity did not completely disappear. Its former members continued to oppose the government, supported by the governments of Western powers, such as through operating an illegal radio station, and campaigned along with other Western countries for the release of Lech Walesa. Although the defeat of Solidarity would suggest the survival of the communist regime, it's seen by many people as the beginning of the end. Firstly, it was clear that many ordinary people living in communist countries were fed up with the government. Secondly, Solidarity was only put down thanks to the threat of Soviet military power. What would happen if the USSR refused to use its army to prop up the communist governments of Eastern Europe? Soviet dominance of Eastern Europe continued through the 1980s, but by the summer of 1989, it was losing its grip on events. By the end of 1990, the USSR's satellite states in Eastern Europe had broken free of Soviet control, and by the end of 91, the USSR itself had broken up. Throughout the 1980s, the USSR had struggled to fund the large number of troops necessary to keep Eastern Europe under control, especially as the Soviet Union faced massive social problems at home. Politically, the influential leaders of the USSR themselves were mainly old, ill men, known as the rule by geriatrics. The new leader of the USSR, though, who became the Soviet leader in 1985, was Mikhail Gorbachev. He knew he needed to fix these problems if the USSR was to survive, and the two key policies he introduced to achieve this were perestroika and glasnost. Perestroika, or restructuring, involved him reforming many elements of Soviet society. For example, he began to allow a free market economy to operate in the USSR, and he cut military spending in order to increase investment in health and housing programs. Glasnost, or openness, saw Gorbachev refusing to use propaganda to cover up the country's problems, and even saw him encouraging people in the USSR to speak out and to suggest new ways to run the economy in the country. This openness extended to Gorbachev telling the USA that the USSR would no longer compete with America. Gorbachev wanted to build good relations as a way to achieve security for the USSR, not continue the arms race. These new policies had an enormous effect on the way that the USSR operated, particularly in terms of its relationship with satellite states. In order to save money, for example, Gorbachev said he could not afford to station millions of Soviet troops in Eastern Europe to keep it communist. Nor, he said, would he use Soviet troops to put down demonstrations in Eastern European countries. Gorbachev believed that the leaders of these states needed to adapt and change in the same way that he was reforming the USSR if they were to survive as communist governments. The cracks in Eastern Europe first began to show in Hungary, which had begun to remove its barbed wire border with non-communist Austria in early 1989. Very quickly, East Germans used the opportunity of going on holiday to Hungary as the chance to bypass German border controls and work their way into West Germany. By September, the East German leader, Erich Honecker, was forced to ask Germany to close its borders due to the large numbers of Eastern Germans fleeing the country. Hungary refused. The following month, Gorbachev visited East Germany as part of the anniversary celebrations as the creation of the DDR. Here, he made it clear to the leaders of Eastern European states that he would not use Soviet troops to keep them in power, and urged them to reform their countries and win the support of their people. Honecker did not heed the advice. In November, thousands of East Germans marched on the Berlin Wall after hearing a rumour that the border to West Berlin would be opened. Honecker ordered troops to fire on the civilians, but they refused, and instead, after a short face-off, opened the border, leading to the fall of the Berlin Wall. Meanwhile, in Poland, Communist Party leaders had agreed to free and open elections in August. Solidarity won 99% of the seats in Poland's Senate, and Lech Walesa became the first non-communist leader since the Second World War. In October, Hungary did the same and became a democratic republic. November saw Czechoslovakia follow suit, while the communist regimes in Bulgaria and Romania fell following massive demonstrations in December. The USSR itself disintegrated the following year after a failed coup by the old communist officials to wrestle back power from Gorbachev. After this failed, recognizing that attempting to resolve the situation was fruitless, Gorbachev announced the end of the Soviet Union on the 25th of December, 1991. Remember that the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe is a broad topic, but that your Paper 2 exam does not expect you to know everything about it. It is far more important to know how to analyse sources and answer source questions appropriately. I now really encourage you to go and listen to my podcast on CIE Paper 2 for some practical guidance on how to do this. Log on to www.mrallsophistory.com to find out more.
of the blue.